But today, let us get started on our sermon. This week, we will be again in Mark, and it's the week number 7 of our focus series. Our slogan this week is, as clever as it can be, carry my cross, say what? And that really is kind of the sentiment of maybe what the sermon's going to portray to all of us. Because sometimes we think we understand what it means to carry our cross. But there's many times also that we don't. And honestly, we don't have a clue sometimes of what that truly means to carry our cross. So that's why I added in that say what, because sometimes that it really is the wondering of what it actually means to carry our cross as a Christian, as believers. See, we often treat life as if we are the ones that make everything happen, as if we're the ones who are in charge of all this stuff going on. We put ourselves really at the center of everything. And in doing so, then we determine that everything happens because we do it or don't do it. And that life itself is then either worthwhile or a waste. You see what happens when we put ourselves at the center? And how that changes sometimes the focus of what our responsibility is to being a believer and to putting Christ first. So we put ourselves at the center. It truly does relay that message that we're more important than the one we serve. And today's message is going to be wrapped around that idea of that, to understand what it means to truly bear and carry our cross. Now, the purpose of this section of scripture is really meant to be encouragement. Because during this time, during the Roman Christians, they were faced with persecution and trials beyond what we can imagine. So this time is meant to, as an encouragement to them, say, hey, you can get through this. Or some people might take it as, this is one more thing I have to do. It's one more weight I wasn't expecting to bear. And then the reality is, though, it's not just for the Christians in the Roman culture at the time. It wasn't for them just going through that type of persecution, because we look at today's persecution, it's still great and still vast. So this piece of scripture not only ties them, but ties us to them and ties all of us to Christ. And that is what we're looking at today for this purpose. This section of the scripture reminds the disciples, and yes, us today, that it's not just about Jesus going to the cross and what he bears and what he did for us on the cross, but it's about our responsibility, not only the disciples of the time, but us as well today, that the responsibility of what the cross means is a weight for all of us to bear. Now, Christ was the initiator of it and the one who bared all of our sins. But our responsibility to the cross is still present today in the reality of what it means to live our life focused solely on him. See, today we're going to be faced with this idea of denying oneself. Denying oneself. Now, it seems like an easy phrase to say, and I'm here to tell you that it's really not that easy to live out. To deny yourself. To deny yourself. Is that really what God meant? Is that really what Jesus meant? That we are to deny ourselves, that we are no longer ourselves? Well, that's really what we're going to be talking about. See, in this message, it truly is asking you to deny yourself. Now, you can scour scripture and look at different aspects of life. You're not going to find other places in the world that tells you to deny yourself. Every commercial, every movie we watch has something to do with you being gratified, with you being at the center. But here in our Christian walk, in our walk with Christ, he truly calls us to deny one's self. That is quite complicated for us to truly understand. So what about some questions? So when you look at this piece of scripture tied into the reality of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him and what it means to live life, not for yourself, but for him. And that is not just a one-time decision. That is not just an ever once in a while decision. That is a decision that you make day in and day out to walk in this manner that means worthy of him. Worthy of him. And I'll come back to this question. But can you say that for yourself? Will the people around you, sitting right now on your couches and probably in pajamas with you, and probably most of you are probably taking advantage of my no yoga pants in the sanctuary time and wearing your yoga pants. I'll let it pass today. But remember, when we come back to live services, that's a whole nother story. I digress, I know. And I apologize for that. Vince is telling me to get back on track here. But the reality is that in this place where Jesus is speaking, he's asking you to deny yourself and give up everything. Give up your whole life to follow him. It's not just a simple gesture. And I really mean it. It is one of the most complicated decisions that you can make. As a quick side note, though, as a reality of what it means for me to lead somebody in Christ, to lead them to baptism, to acceptance of Jesus Christ, the reality is it takes me a while to get there with somebody in a conversation because I want to make sure they understand the decision that you're making. That we don't have these campfire experiences that, oh yeah, I'm all in. But then when it comes to reality, they fall away so quickly. Because they sometimes don't understand the burden of the cost. Now it's worth it. But I want to make sure that people understand that too. So the reality is today that we're coming to this, that we know that this is a counterintuitive way to think. That the reality is that it is not the way we think as humans to deny oneself for something else. Because we know the world tells us, be gratified. Do everything so that you are pleased. Well, if that really is the way you live your life and that is the way that you want to live your life, now would probably be a really good time to tune out. But I hope that you don't. And I didn't see anybody go off the live stream, so that's really good. I think we're all here for a reason, and I think we're all excited about what this message can give to us. So let's get started by diving into Scripture today. We're going to go into our first, and if you go to our first slide here, and it is this, requirements for following him, which is verse 34. And I'm going to read verse 34 for us. It's Mark chapter 8. Verse 34, if you have your Bibles with you, which you should, because your nightstand is right there. So, verse 34, summoning the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. Denial of self. As I mentioned in our introduction, that is something that is very hard for us to do because we truly want that representation of life. I want for me. I mean, think about during this time of, what do we call it, social distancing. I want to see people. I am one of those people who thrive off being around people. Now, some of you are very happy to look at this television screen and say, yes, we are together. But for me, I really like being with people. So for me, it's like that simple. I have to give up something I want. Now take that on a much higher scale. When we look at our salvation, we look at eternal life, and we look at what we're giving up, these inconveniences of life, that we're going to be inconvenienced for sure, but that we're giving it up because he is the one who calls us. Now isn't that something? See, when we look at us modern people, us humans in this era, we tend to see and hear the word cross, and we think about this cross that we've become very hyper-spiritualized, that it means bearing this cross. But we forget that this symbol is actually of one of brutal harshness. That those in this time that this was hearing this letter would have seen and heard the word cross and probably trembled, because they knew what the occupation of the Roman Empire would be and what it meant if you had to bear that cross. And us today, we make it simple. We make it almost like we're inconvenienced today, or we have a thorn in our side. We're a little sick, and that is our cross we have to bear. But that's actually not what we're talking about in this time. That when you take up one's cross, you're taking on the plight of what Jesus had for you and what he commands you to do, to spread the gospel, to teach others, to grow his kingdom. See, nowhere did I say that if you're inconvenienced, then that would be your cross that you're bearing on behalf of Christ. See, the death and crucifixion is a picture that we can't get out of our head, because the reality is that is what it truly meant. And so our little inconveniences that we have in life has nothing to do with what it means to bear our cross. But more than that, it is the reality of what it means. So the cross at the time was also a symbol of those who were in rebellion to the Roman occupation. The Roman occupation seen anything in rebellion and then tortured them and beat them and put them on a cross on display so that no one else would dare cross them. See, the people in that time would see the bearing the cross as something shameful, as they were paraded through the streets, bearing their cross all the way to the point of when they would actually be crucified. A walk of shame. Something that we hardly can imagine, unless we've watched the movie Passion of the Christ or something. That realization is what we look at and can understand of what it truly means to bear our cross for Christ. See, Mark was giving a warning to the community of what it truly meant to bear the cross. Because the reality is that Jesus is saying, in order to do all this and to follow me, you must bear that cross. Now, again, I mentioned the idea that it is something that a opposite of our current political environment, as well as the history. Any time that anybody steps up against the political parties, they're meant to be outcasts. They're meant to be cast out. Now, in the Roman time, there was crucifixion, but now persecution happens in the very same way. And I'm here to tell you, the reality is that if you are living a life that follows Jesus, if you are authentically living your life for him, you will be under persecution. Even in our awesome environment of of this take it easy, tolerance, everybody's cool, except for Christians, except for the way that we live our life holy, as if it's for Jesus. Wait, shocking revelation. Isn't that what Jesus is telling us? To live for him in our following him. But we're persecuted because of that belief, because of that reality. And I'm telling you this. This type of life lived out is infectious. This type of life of living for Christ is infectious. And is far more contagious than anything you've ever seen, whether it be in history or even in our current time of infection and contagious. If you live your life authentically for Christ, it will infect so many people that the political powers will not be able to control it. And it'll be seen as something to persecute. Now that's something about what it means to follow Jesus that I can get behind. Let's move on to verse 35 to our next slide here. Jesus warns in verse 35. Let's read this. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. And I wrote some fill in the blanks, and if you want to write this down, it's helpful for you. Deny him equals physical life saved. Awesome. My physical life is saved by denying him. But your eschatological life is sacrificed, which means you're placed in eternal heaven. You're placed with him for eternity is sacrificed because you chose this physical life over him. When we think about the words here written here, and Jesus said the word saved. Now, prior to this, he used the word saved in those that were either in sin or had a physical ailment, and he healed them. There was some miracle that happened, and you are saved. Here, it truly is meaning in the context of healing, except for your soul, except for what it means for you to be have that eternal life in Jesus Christ forever and ever. See, all this, whether it's being a physical healing or it's a spiritual healing, all of them require an element of faith. See, the same word is being used here. That whether it be this physical ailment that is in you that you have to be healed from, or whether it's your eschatological health, which is your eternal life health, they both require you to have faith in what it means to accept it. And that is what Jesus is talking about. That you can have this physical life, continue on and living the life you want to live. But if you want a life that's healthy, that is whole, then you have faith and accept him for the one who calls you. Because in that time of reconciliation, of what it means to have faith in him and belief in him and have repentance, and then we have reconciliation with him, see, you get freedom from the pressure of sin and removal of the destructive consequences of your sinful decisions. See, that physical life is something we have to be brought out of. And he's calling all of us right now, even in this moment, to release our sinful life and seek after him and follow him. See, this death for Jesus' sake is something that we miss sometimes. We get caught up in the glamour of what it means to accept Jesus and be a part of a group and praise Jesus, right? We forget that actually it means something. It means something far beyond what we are sometimes willing to accept. See, we can't just be in love with him in the moment. You know, that campfire moment. I know I talk about this a lot, but that moment where you're like, oh yeah, Jesus, 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 and then nothing. How about you meet that girl, that guy for the first time, and you're like, oh, love. This is what it must feel like. And how quickly that dwindles away. So you can't be in love with Jesus just for the moment. It is a day-to-day decision, moment-to-moment decision that you choose to love him. Love him in faith, in honesty, in truthfulness. And we do that by the way we live, by the way we walk, by the way we talk, and living it out. See, there's also a difference here that it's death for the sake of the gospel. See, we're giving our lives over to him. We're accepting him, and we're living for him. And that if that brings us death, by spreading the gospel, well, then that is worth it. To continue his kingdom, to grow his kingdom beyond us. See, if someone dies in that moment after being preached the gospel and you gave your life for that, see, then when that person dies, then this is what is going to happen. They die with a deep, deep trust in God. Peaceful. peaceful acceptance, knowing that there's no limitations to Jesus' love. They also die with a respect for people and a hope for their eventual goodness. Forgiveness of those responsibilities, even those responsible for their murder. Think about Jesus on the cross, which we'll be talking about in just a couple weeks. The reality of what it means that he forgave his murderers because they know not what they do. That is the example he sets for us. That is the example that he wants for us. And if someone knows the gospel, then when they die, they know that. And they die with their freedom anchored in the strength of self-control by what Jesus gives them. See, salvation happens in death and through it. See, it's not like we're working this life to in our salvation, like, oh, once I die, it's all over with. Like, our salvation is something we're working towards and continue to work towards. Because he continues to call us. See, after death, you can't wait. In those last moments before death, you can't wait till after death and be like, oh, well, Jesus, you are real. Awesome. I accept you now. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a phrase that I tend to say a lot, honestly, but that we all go to the throne room. Just some of us don't get to stay. We can't let that be you. We can't let that be me. We can't let that be our body of people. We can't let that be the people around us. They must know Jesus, and it's because we're willing to put ourselves out there for sake of the gospel of how they will know Jesus Christ. They will know he is Lord and Savior because of our witness. See, that's something that we tend to forget sometimes. We tend to want to live in this world for ourselves rather than for him. Jesus engaged in the world, and he asks us to engage in the world on his behalf because we are his people. We are his chosen people to spread the gospel to all the nations, to all the world. But it requires us to do so. It requires us to live it out day by day, year by year. In verses 36 and 37, it's this: for what does it benefit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his life? What can a man give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me. I'm sorry, I went too far. What does it mean to gain the whole world and lose your eternal life? Now, I put up some fill in the blanks here. The reality is you can have the whole world. One thing I know about Jesus, and one thing I know about God the Father, one thing I know about the Holy Spirit, is they're not going to be down here begging us. Oh, please, don't you just understand? Please, 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 please. They are going to present us with a choice. And look at this very carefully. That is a does not equal sign in the center there. You can have the whole world if you so choose. But that whole world does not equal eternal life. You can't live as if they don't matter. You can't live as if the Trinity isn't real. You can't live as if Jesus doesn't matter in your life. You can't live that way. You have to live as if he matters. Picking up your cross and understanding what it means to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world, to all the nations. You're faced with choices. The disciples had choices. You have choices today to make when it comes to this choice. We can live in a life and our superficial needs can be met. We can have full bellies, awesome cars, great big houses. But those are all superficial. But with Jesus, it's deeper values, a deeper love, a deeper kinship for your brother and sister in Christ. See, that is what we get to choose. We get to choose and make that choice for Him and not just for ourselves. In so many ways, it really is two crosses that you can choose from. Now bear with me here. You get to choose two crosses here. You only get to choose one, though. The first is the cross of the world. Now this world cross, let me tell you, it has a pretty awesome appeal. I mean, it's shiny. It's pretty. Makes you just want to hug it all the time. And when you first take that cross and you're carrying, you're like, this is awesome. Man, it feels so great. I'm so joyful. My heart is full. But the longer you carry that cross of the world, the heavier it gets. The more burdens you feel. The more guilty you feel. The more ashamed you feel. See, that cross gets heavier and heavier. So although it started out like the shiny little penny, the shiny little gold bar, you just can't wait to pick up and carry. It's full of regrets, shameful thoughts, regrets of the decisions you made. But now this other cross, when you first pick it up, it's going to be heavy. It's going to come with a great weight of what it means to live for Christ in a world that wants nothing to do with it. Because a lot of people have chosen that shiny little cross called the world. But you have chosen Christ. And that cross will be heavy at first. But I tell you this, and I make this as a promise. The more you carry it, the lighter the load. Because I'm telling you, eternal life with Jesus Christ will be more fulfilling than anything this world has to offer you. This world has nothing on what it means to serve Jesus Christ in that way. So here you go. Simple choice in this part of this section. Which will you choose? Now most of you, I can already see your heads nodding. I choose Christ's cross. Well, the sermon's not over yet, I promise you. Verse 38 says this, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words is in this adulterous and sinful generation. The Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes into the glory of his Father and the holy angels." Verse 38 has something very impactful to tell us. That in this world that we live, that we try to live half in the world, half in the cross. You know, honestly, some of us try to bear the weight of both crosses at the same time. The shiny little one on this side, like, oh yeah, this feels great. And then burden someone on this side. You try to carry both. But the reality is you can't. You only think that you're carrying the Christ cross. But really, that guilt and shame and burden of living in this world is weighing you down to where it makes you feel like you're carrying both. Now, sure, on Sunday morning and other places online, you got this shiny little smile and you're so thankful for the Jesus Christ and the way that his people are reaching out to you. That is only a show sometimes. The burden of that cross of the world and the shame you feel is why you're weighted down. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ, though, because that will only get you in the throne room when he's ashamed of you. Because you chose the world over eternal life with him. But instead, you chose eternal life in hell. And that is not of God. You have that free choice. Be ashamed of Jesus. He'll be ashamed of you. Verse 38 cuts it pretty clear. He makes it almost like courtroom terminology. When people would stand up and do witness against someone, it makes it that cut and dry. Ashamed of me, ashamed of you. So don't be ashamed of him, but yet rather express your love for him. And it's not about just praising Jesus and how holy hands you have. That's not what it is. It's not about how loud you sing on Sunday morning. It's about what you do on your knees in prayer. It's about the way you love your neighbor, especially during these times when people are in need. What are you doing? If you say, I can't do anything because I'm required to stay home, check yourself today to see who you're following. Because the phones are still working. The internet's still working. Your email's working, I promise you. You can reach out to the person you sit next to on Sunday morning and show the love of Jesus. You can reach out to your ailing neighbor who you know is probably struggling during this time, whether it be financially, or whether they need food, or whether just loneliness. You want to know how to share the love of Jesus, the gospel? Be Jesus in this time, such as this. Show the world who we are by what we do. And verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, in his final remarks Jesus makes, then he said to them, I assure you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God come in power. See, Jesus' final comments sound confusing to us, the modern reader. But you got to understand that Jesus already proclaimed that he was the Son of God. He was already telling them who he was and what he was about. And when you look at that remark of what they will do, the death and reality of what Jesus offers is something grand, something spectacular. That we will have eternal life with him in heaven. See, Jesus already told generations of people of what it means to know that he is the Son of Man and that he brings in the kingdom of God with power. That is something that we cannot overlook. When you look at all different kinds of scripture, all different kinds of literature of the time, Jesus was not just saying later on. Now, in this very moment, now a lot of you might be thinking maybe he was referencing the second coming. But that's not what he was mentioning here. He was not mentioning later on in that second coming. He was saying, now, I am here now. You are seeing me. I am the Son of Man, and I am the power by which the kingdom of God can be reached. See, that's a reality that we miss sometimes in our faith and our hope. The reality of who he is. Now, as I look at my time has expired, I want to go into our wrap-up time. And if you can just hang with me just for a couple more minutes, I promise you I'll be wrapping up. See, Jesus isn't asking us to do anything he didn't do himself. If you write down this reference, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of slave, taking on the likeness of man. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. See, it says Jesus emptied himself, which means he gave up all his status and privileges that was rightly his, so that all of us can be saved. In this time, in this season that we're coming upon, we know what he gave for us. We know it. We know all the scripture references that tie to it. But do we understand it? Do we understand what he gave for us? He lost his life for our sake. And in this passage today, he's talking about giving up your life for his sake and for the sake of the gospel. Are you willing? Are you willing to make that transition? See, I have a challenge to each one of us as we look at what it means. So, you know, in your prayer time over this next, well, today or tomorrow and this next week and with your family, with your loved ones around you, asking you some questions. Where they might see you compromising your, let's just say, saltiness. Where are you compromising? In what areas of your life have you decided that the cost of following Jesus is just too much? In what ways are you unwilling to follow Jesus? What has Jesus asked you for? And you said, no. No, thank you. What worldly, sinful pleasures have we exchanged for his presence? And finally, maybe perhaps more seriously, I want you to ask, have you denied Jesus because of your worldly desire for pleasure? Friends, truly, you could search your whole life for an alternative to Jesus. You will not find one. You will not find an expression of love greater than Jesus, greater than God our Father, greater than the Holy Spirit. You will not find a substitute to fill that void of truly living for them. There's nothing in this world right now that you're enjoying more than that. This is a very hard decision to continue to make day in and day out, as the world is very pleasing to the eye. But truly following Jesus means giving up something. And he's asking for the world. Give up this world and follow him. It is by following Jesus every day, by walking in the same manner as him, that life is truly transformed. We move away from death. We move away from that hype of the world. And instead, prepare a way for our eternal life because of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this simply. All it takes to do this, Jesus says, by denying yourself and by giving your life away. Now it gives us something to close on and think about on this sermon. Let me close out this sermon in prayer, and I'll have some closing remarks before we close out the service. Father, thank you for just the way you encourage us, guide us, direct us. Father, I'm so thankful for your message today, just a good reminder of what it means to bear the cross. And Father, that I hope that all of us who are tuning in right now are choosing you over this world. Father, if there is something in our lives that is not right, make it known to us and give us the strength to make the changes. Father, we're grateful for you, encouraged by you, and we say this in Jesus' name, and all your people said, amen.